Hunter Abana. Who will mode of no will mode? Who code and live no? Right, your choice in you learning and your son learning. Right, you can only afford one of you have to work in the family business, and one of you can learn. Then you take precedence over your son. It's a similar concept of mitzvah to gufei others. Whichever way you see it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer v'no zorz and mulach. No modem sky biyado v'no code. No, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you can learn or your son can learn, but you don't learn so well, and your son is stark, and he is a well-prepared mind, and he remembers what he learned, then the son comes first, because in Talmud Torah, apparently, it's not just the number of hours you put in, but it's the accomplishment, and it's more important to have someone accomplish than to have someone not accomplish. Ki hadar of Yaakov in Yerachavar. Yaakov, like the story of Yaakov, was the son who was apparently the Havmina was starker than his father, the son of Rav Achavar Yaakov, who's a big Amora. Shadiyavo was coming up by his father sent to learn in front of a bayi, because his father assumed they need one guy to stay home and work in the business. His father thought that the son was much better than him and would become a bigger Talmud Chacham. Ki asa chazit lovim chazin shmaitim. When the kid came back from yeshiva from his mind and he saw that the sugyas weren't so sharp in his mind, Amalei anan divinah, he says, no, I da Havmina, you were better than me. Really, I'm better than you, and therefore, Tuv'at, you stay here, the Ezo Ana, I'll go instead. And that's the end of the part that's relevant to us. Whatever. That's the end of the part that's relevant to us, that we see if the son's not starker, then the father should learn. Then they have a little story. Shama Abaye Zikahava Asi Abaye heard that Rachav Yaakov was coming, and he knew Rachav Yaakov was a big tzaddik, bigger than anyone else was learning in his base. Havahau Mazik Be'erabonad Abaye, there's a certain shade. In the base medrash of Abaye, the Chiva Eidlid betrayin afil b'mama have a mitzvah. Even if they would come with two people during the daytime, they would be hurt by the shade. Normally, the rule of shadim is, it says in the Gemara in a few places, in Sechus Brachos, for example, that shadim only attack one person. If there are two people together, you're exempt, you're safe from shadim. It's also a rule that shadim only attack you at night. During the daytime, you're safe from shadim. But this shade is a super shade, even at night, and even if you had two people and at night, a double protection, it got you anyway, because this is a very, very powerful shade. So, Amar Lahulu, Lathli, and Shishpija. So Abai said to everyone, no one should give Rav Achmar Yaakov hospitality, shouldn't give him a bed, after Mizrach Shanisha, because then he'll have to sleep in the base, and maybe there'll be a nace, and it'll be him up against the shade, and he'll win. All Basbao Be Rabbanan. So Rav Achmar Yaakov came and slept in the base medrash, because no one invited him home. The shade appeared to him like a seven-headed serpent. Every time he bowed down and davened, one of the seven heads fell off. Pashas, it means that he just davened to Hashem to save him from the shade. Shidulunulami has a very clever observation. He says, no, he was just davening. When you daven, you have to bow down seven times. Twice for Avos, twice for Modim, and three times at Osa Shalom v'Romos. So therefore, the seven times he davened, Shmon Esrei killed all seven heads of the shade. Amalu Lamacher, the next day, Rav Yaakov said to everyone else, he lost Rav Shanisha Sakant, and if not for the nace, you'd have put him in Sakana. Apparently, he was a little annoyed. Without getting into the shadim aspect, the Mepharshim do ask an obvious kasha. There's one word here that seems very, very difficult, which is the word Efsher. Efsher and Rav Shanisha, what do they say? Let Rav Yaakov sleep here, because maybe there'll be a nace and he'll kill the shade. What does that mean? They'd have something whether there'd be a nace or not, right? Maybe he'd kill the shade, or maybe he wouldn't. So if they were mamish putting he accused them of putting him in some sort of suffix that is a fashion. They mamish put Rav Achmar Yaakov in a suffix of killing him. So all the mafarshim were bothered by this. I think the pshat answer is like the Sefer HaMakna here says, that no, they were absolutely certain that the shade wouldn't hurt Rav Achmar Yaakov. Rav Achmar Yaakov is such a Talmud Chacham, we know the Torah protects you. Of course it wouldn't hurt him. They were just mesuffic, Efsher. Efsher might not attack him at all. Efsher, there won't be a nace. They won't attack him. Or Efsher will attack him and there'll be an ace that will manage to kill it. So that was the only Efsher. They weren't mesupik whether Rav Achmar Yaakov would die. They were just mesupik whether nothing would happen, or whether the shade would come out and there'd be an ace and Rav Achmar Yaakov would kill him. But they weren't really trying to put Rav Achmar Yaakov in Sakana. I think that makes a lot of sense, because it's hard to understand. They would mamish have taken a chance with Rav Achmar Yaakov's life. So that's the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Lilmo Torah Velisa Isha, you have a choice between learning and getting married. What should you do first? This is Malach Lamaisa nowadays. Everyone wants to know. She got married young. This Malach looks in all the different yeshivas and all the different, you know, hashkafas within Judaism. You know, should you get married young? Some people hold you should get married very young, and then you worry, you'll learn. Or should, you know, first sit and learn? I don't think anyone holds you should just, like, I don't know, like, go to work and get an apartment on the Upper West Side and hang out and get married when you're 35. I don't think it's any shita. But some yeshivas hold you should get married a little older because you should have some time to sit and learn 24-7 with Hasmada first. In the old days, in the mirror, in the, you know, in the 50s, guys used to get married at 40. You know, they tell this famous joke about the Alev, these mirrors, these Alter Bacher mirrors. One guy met his friend on the subway who had just recently gotten married at 43. I told his friend, who's still single, he said, you know, I never imagined how wonderful it was being married. You come home, you have someone there, your relationship, it's so wonderful. If I would have known how nice it was to be married, I would have gotten married 2 years ago. So that's one time. The other shot, we know some, especially when the Chassidim are married. You get married 17, you're married 18, you're married 19 already, maximum, you're an old man already. Get married right away, and then you'll learn however much you can learn. So what's more important? The more important to learn start from yeshiva, or to get married. So Yilma Torah V'Chagiz Yisha, you should learn first and get married second. The EF Shelo B'lo Isha. But if it's impossible for you to live without a wife, and wife is not literally impossible, but it's impossible for someone because they're constantly being interfered with their hurim. Right? Some people can learn start from yeshiva, and they don't have any problem with their hurim. They don't even worry about it. They just, all they think about is Torah. They should learn and worry about getting married later. But if someone tries to sit and learn, and but they're constantly interfered with by her hurin, so they need a wife. So in that case, you should get married first, and then learn Torah. Get an interesting deacon, the Rambam, for me here. Maybe we'll come back to it. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, what's halacha l'maisa? Halacha no se'isha v'charkach yimol Torah. Halacha l'maisa, you should get married first, and then learn Torah. This seems to be against the Braisa. The Braisa says, like in a Stam default case, right, going to most proportion, he's against the Braisa. Braisa seems to say in a Stam default case, you should learn Torah first and worry about getting married second. Shmuel says you should get married first and learn Torah second. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chaim Tavor Rabbi Yassim Torah and Bitmiya. You have a millstone around your neck, meaning you have a burden of Parnassah of a family around your neck, and you'd be able to learn? Of course not. There's no way you can learn with a burden of Parnassah around your neck. So rather, you should learn first and get married second, like the Braisa. Below Pligi Halan Halahu, and really the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and the Braisa versus Shmuel. This is for us and this is for them. So what's the difference between who's us and them? L'chor Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So what does Rashi say is the difference between us and them, according to Rashi? According to Rashi, what's the difference? Right, in those days, the people in Bavel used to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Right, L'chorah, I don't know that this always happened necessarily, but at least in these days, in the days of Shmuel, Rabban Shmuel was the beginning of the real flourishing of Torah and Bavel in the era of the Amoraim. So all the Shtark guys used to go to Eretz Yisrael, to learn. So nowadays also in America, a lot of guys go to Israel to learn. So therefore, Rashi says, in Bavel, who lived in Bavel? Shmuel lived in Bavel. So Shmuel lived in Bavel, said, get married first and learn second. Why? Because the guy in Bavel is going to get married, and he's going to go straight to Eretz Yisrael. So he'll get married, and then he'll move to Israel to learn for a few years. So you don't have to worry about any burdens of the household. What are you talking about? His household is hundreds of miles away. He can just learn uninterrupted. So in Bavel, where you can have your cake and eat it too, you can get married and learn. So you'll get married, and then go far away to learn. And there were no phones then. Your wife couldn't call you if she had a problem. So it was, you can learn uninterrupted. Then have your cake and eat it too. Wonderful. But in Eretz Yisrael, where people learn close by, so if they were trying to learn, their wife would call and say, you know, we need this. Can you pick this up? Can you pick up some milk? Can you help with the dishes? You have a lot of things. You know, we need this. There's a lot of tirdus that would be on you. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, you couldn't have your cake and eat it too. You could either learn and not get married or get married and not be able to learn well. Then, if you have to pick, you should learn and not get married. Tosfos has some problems with Rashi's pshat. He has two fairly significant problems with Rashi's pshat, l'chora. Number one, he says, what's the whole point of getting married before you learn? To avoid hirurim. But in Bavel, if they got married and then went hundreds of miles away, how does that avoid hirurim? Right? Just because someone has a wife hundreds of miles away, how does that, they have just as much hirurim as a single person, because their wife's not with them. Apparently, Rashi thought that if you have pas v'salo, right, if someone has, they have their wife, they have something to rely on. Don't mishe yesh lo pas v'salo, mishe ein lo pas v'salo, Gemara says, there's no comparison between someone who has a backup plan, someone who doesn't. So if someone has a wife, they won't have so many hurim. They won't be so nechshol. But Tosfos may be a little more realistic here. Tosfos says, no, it doesn't matter. If your wife's hundreds of miles away, then either way you're going to have her hurt. So he doesn't see how Rashi's plan for the Bnei Bavel to get married in Bavel and then move to Eretz Yisrael and learn and forget it and live far away from their families. A, it doesn't make sense to have that savior from her Hurim. And B, says it doesn't make sense because once you get married, you can't just go hundreds of miles away and abandon your family. You have to support them. Right? He quotes the Gemara, and criticize people who went far away to learn. Apparently people did it, but that doesn't mean it's a good thing. Criticize people who went far away to learn, and they end up having to, their wife has to sell their, kids. I mean, I assume it's somewhat of an exaggeration to feed them. So you can't just abandon your family without giving them parnasa, without working. So Tulsa says Rashi's shot is ridiculous. The Bnei Bavel doesn't work. A, it doesn't save you from Hurim. And B, you're not allowed to get married and then move hundreds of miles away and not support your family. Rashi has to answer B'docha. He obviously thought, A, that it does save you from Hurim to know you have a wife at home, even though she's hundreds of miles away and not available to you, which is a chiddush. And B, apparently Rashi thought that you could move like hundreds of miles away and not worry about supporting your family. How would they be supported? Maybe Rashi makes their kin, so we're talking about someone who has some means of supporting his family. But this would be a strange okimta. It's only someone who has some means of supporting his family. Because the Gemara Gittin does criticize people who don't support their families. So maybe Rashi was talking about rich people, but it's very difficult. So Tulsa says a different shot. Tulsa says, what's the difference between one and Lahu? What's Tulsa's shot? Number one, in Eretz Yisrael people are rich. In Bavel, people are poor. And also, similar to Rashi, he flips it around. In Eretz Yisrael, you can learn close by. So therefore, you can get married and learn close by without abandoning your families. In Bavel, where you have to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn, you can't learn after you get married. Meaning Rashi and Tosos are starting with the same Yesod. The Yesod is, if you can have your cake and eat it too, get married first and then learn married. If you can't have your cake and eat it too, you can either be single and learn, or be married and not learn, then learn single and get married later. Just Tosos flips it around. He says, in Eretz Yisrael, they can get married and still learn in Kollel. Why? Because number one, the yeshivas were right near their houses, so they get married and still live at home and still sleep at home and be able to learn in yeshiva all day. And number two, they were rich in Eretz Yisrael. Their father-in-law could support them for a little while. There was money floating around so that you didn't have to work all day long for parnasa. Maybe your father-in-law would support you. Maybe your father would support you. Maybe you'd work a little and be able to make enough parnasa to sit and learn the rest of the day in Kollel. So in Eretz Yisrael, where the yeshivas were near home and they had enough money to support their families, you could get married and learn in Kollel. So if you could have your cake and eat it too, get married first and then learn. But in Bavel, one second, they couldn't have their cake and eat it too. In Bavel, A, they were very poor, so once they got married, they would have to work all day. And B, in Bavel, even if you were rich, you can't go to yeshiva without moving far, far away from your family. And who wants to move far, far away from your family for a long time? There were no yeshivas in Bavel. So in Bavel, where the yeshivas were far away, and you can't go anyway because you're very poor and have to support your family, so you can't have your cake and eat it too. You have to choose. It's either learning or getting married. But you can't learn married. Therefore, you choose to learn first and get married later. So Tosha just flips it around. What's obviously very dachuk about Daniel first?
That it's the wrong perspective from
Aronella. Right. For Tosha, who's the one? In Bavel is where, according to Tosha, in Bavel is where you learn first. In Eretz Yisrael is where you get married. Who said you should get married? Shmuel. Who said you should learn first? Rabbi Yochanan. So Shmuel lives in Bavel. Who says you should get married first? He's talking about people in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yochanan lives in Eretz Yisrael, who says you should learn first. He's talking about people in Bavel. Seems very dachuk. Tosfos says, Eina Chanami, yes. Shmuel was talking to Talmidim who came from Israel to learn with him, which already is strange. If we just said everyone from Bavel moves there to Israel, Tosfos says that, but some people from Israel moved to Bavel. Or if Yochanan is talking about to the Talmidim Bavel who came to learn with him. And Tosfos proves, you go through the whole Tosfos, and I can go through it now, all the places in Shas where it's true that, whether you can interpret that everyone was talking to Talmidim who came from a different country. But Tosfos is obviously also a little bit dachuk, because even though it's a nice shot, it makes a lot of sense. It resonates with Tosfos. Of course it makes sense. If I can learn close to home and I have enough money, I should get married and learn in Kollel. If the learning is far away from home and I have no money anyway, then of course I should learn as a bachur and not get married yet. But it's a little dachuk to say that everyone was talking about precisely the opposite country of where they lived in. So, what other pshatim do we have? The Ran and the Ritva Kodesh Omrim, what do they say?
That the
white pork.
Ah, that's different than hugging like nowadays. In Babel, the women were used to working and making a lot of money. In Eretz Yisrael, the women were used to not working. So he says, a very posh shot. He says, look, we're all based on the same basic perspective. If you can have your cake and eat it too, get married and learn in Kollel. If you have to choose, then learn first and get married second. Just he says, Rabbi Yochanan, who said you should learn first. Let's start the other way. Shmuel, who said you should get married, was talking about Babel. In Babel, the women work. So in Babel, you can get married, and your wife will support the family while you learn in Kollel. So you should get married and learn in Kollel. But in Eretz Yisrael, the wise women didn't work. So if you got married, you would have to support your family. You'd have to go to work. So in Eretz Yisrael, getting married means going to work. Then you have to choose. You can either get married or learn, but not both. See if we should learn first and get married later. That's the Yishomrim in the Ron. The whether or not there's a fourth shot in Holon v'Holohu depends on how we interpret the Rambam. What does the Rambam say about Holon v'Holohu? He doesn't. The Rambam doesn't say anything about Holon and Lahu. He just says that you should get married first or learn first. What does he pop in? You should learn first. Unless it's the Efshar, then you should get married first. The Rambam just says you should learn first. He says you're worried about Parnassa and the responsibilities of being married. Just learn first. So the Rambam just says to learn first. He doesn't say anything about Holon v'Holohu, which seems to be a little difficult. So what does the Lechem Mishnah say for the Rambam? The Lechem Mishnah says that really, even though the Rambam didn't make this chiluk, he really did. The Rambam implied the chiluk in Holon v'Holohu, even though he didn't say it. Why? Because the Rambam says in Hilchas Ishus, he says, that im ha yosek v'torah v'tarid v'avayim is yari milisa ishek neshul yitrach m'zonas v'atman v'torah. If you're afraid of having to work hard and not being able to learn, and you know that when you're married you won't be able to learn, then you should learn first. So he says, the Rambam, you have to read the Rambam, very mizuyik, if you're afraid that you won't be able to learn when you're married, then you should learn first, and get married second. But if you're not afraid, if you can get married and still learn, if you're not worried about Parnassa, then even though, like the Rambam doesn't say the second side of the coin, he implies, if you're worried about Parnassa, learn as a buffer and then get married. If you're not worried about Parnassa, the diuk is, then get married and learn as an avri, and learn in Kollel. So he says, really, the Rambam, even though he didn't bring down Holon v'Holohu, he hinted at Holon v'Holohu. Why didn't he explain the whole bubble and Eretz Yisrael and all the details according to one of the Pshatim? So the Lechem Mishnah says, very poshut. Because it doesn't really matter the details. There's nothing magic about Eretz Yisrael or Babel. It's just logical. You have to make your own judgment in your country, in your time and place. No one cares whether it's Babel or Eretz Yisrael. You just have to look at your own situation. If you can get married and still learn, then get married and learn. And if you can't get married and still learn because you have to worry about Parnassa, then learn first and get married second. There's no point in the Rambam quoting Holon v'Holohu because none of us live in Babel and none of us live in Eretz Yisrael, and these things change all the time anyway. Babel's not always the same rule and Eretz Yisrael's not always the same rule. It all depends on the circumstances. So the Rambam just told you, Derek Remez, you should look at your own circumstances and apply the underlying principle. And the underlying principle is very poshut. If you can afford to get married and learn, and it'll work out, get married and learn. If it won't work out, get married and learn, then learn and then get married.
Is this talking about general fights or just talking about the phone?
So this is... Michael's asking us, is this Gemara talking about like what everyone should do or what someone who wants to be a Talmid Chacham should do? Is that what you're asking? So that is a very interesting question. We'll have to get back to that. That all depends on the question of whether everyone is supposed to learn all the time or not. So we're not sure. Although, we'll have to get back to that. Although it is striking, the Rambam puts us in Perek Aleph, where he's talking about everyone's obligation to learn, and not later on in Perek Gimel, when he's talking about Talmid Chachamim. What? No, I don't think he's agreeing with Rashi. There's the Ron, even the Yesh Omer in the Ron. Yeah. Right? Third side. Is he necessarily saying that everyone from Babel would travel to Israel to learn? Or is he just saying they're rich? And I don't know if he's necessarily agreeing with Rashi that has to do with traveling far away.
He's not saying that...
I don't think he's trying to beef up Rashi. I think he's saying a different shot.
He's not saying that the Nashim in Babel work, so it's okay for their husbands to go, and that's why the husbands don't have perfect rights on them, because the Nashim work.
Given he doesn't, the Yeshomer doesn't say anything about traveling to another country or not. For the Yeshomer, it sounds like everyone would learn in their own country. Just that you can only learn if your wife works. So I don't think he's trying to beef up Rashi, to defend Rashi. I think it's a totally different shot. Rashi is the main difference is, do you have to travel to yeshiva or are there local yeshivas? I think the Yeshomer is saying every place there are local yeshivas.
That's
but you can only go to local yeshiva if your wife makes the parnasa. He is. In Bavel, the women knew how to work. In Eretz Yisrael, the women didn't work. That's the only work. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, the women were spoiled, and in Bavel, they weren't.
But he is saying that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about Eretz
Yisrael. Oh, yeah, in that way, he's like Rashi.
Right.
Correct. He's like Rashi in that he has everyone talking to the right country. But he's a different reason. Okay.
Right.
I mean, is there a set definition for Yom HaTorah? Because he's saying Yom HaTorah is Afar Kafis HaYisha. Is it a time-bound Yom HaTorah, or is it a...
And it's how much Torah should you learn for how long we'll have to get to. Okay, good. We'll come back to that. Now, just one more possible shot. The Tosfria Zakein has a possible fourth shot in Halon V'Halahu. The Tosfria Zakein on the side of the page here wants to take shot in the Rambam. And unlike everyone else, Tosfria Zakein says that Halon V'Halahu is not talking about Parnassah. He says, for the Rambam left out Halon V'Halahu, so Lechemish says, but the Rambam hinted at Halon V'Halahu. He just hinted at it in a very general way, because there's no point getting into the specifics of like hundreds of years ago in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Everyone has to apply the general principles to their time and place. So Zvi Zakin said, for the Rambam, no. The Rambam did bring down Halon V'Halahu. How did the Rambam bring down Halon V'Halahu? He starts with another question people ask. How could Shmuel argue on the Braisa? If the Braisa says to learn first, how could Shmuel say to get married first? So what would Rashi answer? How could Shmuel argue on a Braisa? The Braisa was written in Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel lives in Bavel. No machlokas. So the Tosfria Zakein says no one's arguing on the Braisa. They're both quoting the Braisa. What does the Braisa say? In the normal case, you should learn first. That's Rabbi Yochanan. If you're beset by her hurim, then you should get married first. And that's Shmuel, and that's what the Gemara means. Halon, the Rambam does bring down the Braisa. The Rambam says you should learn first, but if you're plagued by her hurim, you should get married first. Says that's Shadon Halon V'Halahu. In Eretz Yisrael, we know Eretz Yisrael is the country where Torah comes more naturally to us, where the land is infused with the Chachma of Torah, where Rav Kook writes, right, that Torah is the natural product of Eretz Yisrael. So people got into the Torah so much in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes at the very end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia that her hurim only comes to someone who's not totally holding their mind in Torah. Anyone whose mind is suffused by Chachma is potter from her hurim. So in Eretz Yisrael, they were so holding in Torah, they were so in love with Torah, that they had no her hurim. So in Eretz Yisrael was the Reish of the Braisa. They were so infused with Torah, they should learn first and not worry about marriage. They had no her hurim. In Bavel, it wasn't an economic difference. It was a hearer difference. In Bavel, Torah, even though Bavel is a great center of Torah, Torah is not so natural in Bavel, right? Rav Kook tells us that Torah in Chutzlaritz already, it's not a natural part of that climate. It's a foreign implant in Chutzlaritz. Therefore, they got into Torah, but they weren't suffused with Torah. They weren't in love with Torah in Chutzlaritz. So in Bavel, they weren't in love with Torah. They learned, but they weren't in love with Torah. So their minds were still filled with her harim. So in Bavel, the Efter, lo below Isha, because they were filled with their hurim, so they had to get married first. So Zvi'a Zakein claims that the Rambam really is bringing down Halav al-Halahu, not these Varames to it and hopes we figure it out on our own and we're a dyke because we're so smart. The Rambam brings it down, because Halav al-Halahu is really the same chiluk as the Efshalov lo-Isha and Efshalov lo-Isha, just in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have her hurim, and in Bavel, they did have her hurim. That is, seems to be a very nice shot in the Rambam. That way the Rambam is mamish bring down Halahu. And that way also, Shmuel and Rav Yochanan are arguing on the Braisa. They're just saying the two lines of the Braisa. What's the only problem with Tosfria Zakein's shot? What does Rav Yochanan say? Rav Yochanan says that, actually, is there a problem? No problem with Tosfria Zakein's shot. That's the Tosfria Zakein's shot.
The only problem, I thought, it's so smart like in Gideon, don't take away Bavel's head as well when it comes, like, it says,
do you get from outside?
Yeah, for knowledge. Yeah, for knowledge of Torah, for like lishma, for knowledge of Torah. You know that you know a get has written lishma. Bevel has just as much knowledge there as Yisrael. But for the panini, the bringing Torah, the internalization of Torah, the being in love with Torah, that's only shaykh in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Lord. Torah is really, again, you don't want to say this too strongly, because all the Vart's right, Torah is given our Sinai to show it's not connected to any place, it applies in every place and time, but nonetheless, the Torah is more internal in Eretz Yisrael. So now we've seen four pshatim in Ha-Lan V'Ha-Lahu, three pshatim take everyone to be speaking to their own country, which means in Bavel, you should get married in Eretz Yisrael, which means in Bavel, you should get married. In Eretz Yisrael, you should learn as a bacher and get married when you're old. Bavel, get married young. Eretz Yisrael, get married old. Just the chazer. Rashi says Bavel, get married young, because then you'll abandon your family and be able to learn without hearing her and not worry about your family, which is strange. But in Eretz Yisrael, you'll have to worry about your family. The Yesh Omer in the Ran says in Bavel, get married young, because your wife will support the family. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to learn, because wives don't support the family. And the Tosfos Yazakin says in Bavel, get married young, to avoid her hurim. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are no hurim for guys who learn, so you can get married later. And one Pshat Tosfos says the opposite. He says everyone was talking to the other country where they didn't live. And Tosfos says, in Eretz Yisrael, you get married young, because the yeshiva's right nearby, and you have plenty of money, so you can learn all day. In Bavel, where there's no yeshiva nearby, and you're too poor to learn anyway, you should learn as a bacher and get married later. That's Pshat in the Gemara. Halacha L'maisa, just let me point out one thing. Halacha L'maisa, really, both Rashi and Tosfos and the Yesh Omrim all agree as a matter of principle. As a matter of principle, everyone but Tosfos Yazakin interprets the Gemara in the exact same way. What exact same way? If you can get married and still learn, get married young and learn. If it's not practical to learn after you get married, then you should learn as a bacher and get married older. They only argue about the details. The principles are the same thing, which is why the Lechem Mishnah says the Rambam did the best job he could of quoting Halan V'Halahu. Why get mired in the details that don't necessarily apply to America in the 20th century where they have their own cheshbonos? Just stick with the principle. If you can't get married, if you can't learn when you're married, then get married later. The implication is if you can learn in Kola when you're married, get married young. That's Halan V'Halahu. Now, we're ready to get to the yesod of the matter. According to how we just explained that everyone's based on the same yesod, fundamentally, what's more important, getting married or learning? If you can do both, you do both, right? Whatever, everyone explains the scenario. If you can do both, you do both. If you have to choose, should you choose to learn or to get married? You should choose to learn. That's exactly what everyone says the yesod is. If you're in the kind of economic or financial matzias that you can't get married when you can't learn when you have a family, then forget the family and just learn. So, are you normally chayav to get married? Yes. How do we know you're chayav to get married? What mitzvah says you're chayav to get married? Puruvu. So that's what the Rambam deals with. You look in Hilchos Ishus, he says, Ha'ish mitzvah al per yavariv yavalo ha'isha. Umei ma'asai ha'ish nitzchayav mitzvah zu, umi ben shvatsrei. Man is chayav for Ravu, women are not. When is a man chayav? When he's 17. That's a problematic year, so we'll come back to that later in the Gemara. The chayav shavru etzim shon of lonos ha'isha. If someone, chas v'shalom, becomes get to the age of 20 and is still single, hari zeh over in vatan to say, you mamish violate, like you should do it at 18. Right? Like, I don't know, like tefillin, you should put it on first thing in the morning. But if the sun sets and you still haven't put on tefillin, you're mevatel mitzvah say. So if you're 20 and you're so old and you're still not married, then you're mevatel mitzvah say of puruvu. V'im haya oseh v'torah v'tarad bava yimis yari milisa isha k'desh lo yitrach muzonos v'yatel min ha-torah. But if you were holding oseh v'torah v'tarad bava, you were learning Torah and you were holding in Torah. You weren't just some learning as a hobby, whatever. You were mamish into the learning. And you're afraid to get married so that you don't have to worry about feeding your family and stop learning, then you're allowed to delay marriage. Why are you allowed to delay marriage? So, osik mitzvah, patim mitzvah, the kol shekein, the Talmud Torah. Osik mitzvah, we all know from the Gemara Sukkah and all over Shas, is patim mitzvah. And kol shekein, osik Talmud Torah is patim mitzvah. Why is it a kol shekein? Because what's bigger? Talmud Torah. Look at the Rambam. It's on the sheet. Hilchos Talmud Torah, per gimel, loch gimel. Ein lecha mitzvah chala mitzvahs kulon shishkula keneged Talmud Torah. No mitzvah is equal to Talmud Torah. Ela Talmud Torah keneged kol mitzvahs kulon. But Talmud Torah is equal to all the mitzvahs put together. So Talmud may relate to Maisa, because Torah leads to doing the mitzvot. Therefore, it's equal to all the mitzvot put together. Therefore, learning precedes doing mitzvot everywhere. It's always more important to learn than to do mitzvot. So the Rambam is saying, if Osek and a mitzvah is part of a mitzvah, then call Shekeng Osek and learning Torah, which is better than which all the mitzvot put together, is part of a mitzvah. So if you're learning Torah, you're part of the mitzvah Nisuin. So according to the Rambam, our Gemara is very pashut. If you can get married and learn, wonderful, do both. Right? If you have to get married to the Vir Hurim, then okay, get married. But if you just have to choose, you can get married and not learn. Or you can learn and not get married, and you have two options open to you. You should learn and not get married, because Osek and learning is potter from the mitzvah of Puruvu.
But it doesn't even make sense, because all purpose of learning was today and
I. Okay, let's get back to that. So, but even if we don't go to the reason behind it, why doesn't this seem to make sense? Because there's a stira from... Everyone has the famous steers in the Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah. And the Rambam didn't make this up in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Kesef Mishnah on the side quotes is based on its Mefurish Mishalmi, and the later Chonim point out it's also Mefurish Bavli in Moikat and Daf Tes. So the Rambam says Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet Ocha Dalet, Ha'yilafana Asiyas Mitzvah Talmud Torah. If you were to choose between doing a mitzvah and learning Torah, Im Efshal the Mitzvah Le'asai De'Acherim Lo'Yafse Kalmudo. If someone else can do the mitzvah, then don't stop learning. Right? If someone says, I don't know, leave yeshiva, join the Chevrut Kadisha. Yes, well, if there are other people to join the Chevrut Kadisha, yeah, we can always find someone else. Then, keep learning, let someone else join the Chevrut Kadisha. If someone says, I don't know, go collect the Dukkah. Yes, well, is there someone else? They say, wait, we can probably find someone else to collect the Dukkah. Then you stay learning and let someone else worry about collecting the Dukkah. Someone else can do the mitzvah, then it's not your responsibility. You learn and let someone else do the mitzvah. That way you'll be learning, and the other guy who's not learning will be doing a mitzvah. Great. Him lav, but what if you have to choose? There's no one else going to do it. Let's say it's like, there's no one else going to do it. Let's say tzedakah, right? They go to Big Rosh Hashiva and say, want you to stop learning, come speak at the dinner to make an appeal. The Rosh Hashiva says, is there someone else to make the appeal? They say, yeah, I mean, we can get anyone to make an appeal, but people won't give so much money if the Rosh Hashiva doesn't speak. If the Rosh Hashiva speaks, people will take out their checkbooks and write big checks. And if not, then they won't. Then it's Iyashali Dechen. Then no one else can do the job right. If no one else can do the job right, then the Rosh Hashiva has to stop his learning and go make the appeal at the annual dinner. Same thing, right? If you have a Levaya, right, if someone says, come to Levaya. How many people can be at the Levaya? Oh, the whole world will be at the Levaya. No one will care. No one will notice if someone else is there. They'll learn. You don't go to Levaya. Someone says, no, you know, it's a big covet for more people to come for the Levaya. Levaya doesn't have enough people to get covet on Mace. Then you have to stop learning and go to the Levaya. They say the same thing in yeshivas for weddings. You're invited to a wedding. So she leaves yeshiva and go to the wedding. So if you say, do I make... There's lots of people at the wedding. There are plenty of people to dance, to whatever needs to be done at the wedding. Then, stay learning. Why do you have to go to the wedding? But if you say, no, we really need to make ruach at the wedding. Or, you know, the guy will notice you're not there, and he'll feel bad that you're not at his wedding. He wants you to be at the wedding. You're a good friend of his. And you say, okay, can't be done by someone else, so you should go do it. Kal v'chomer, of course, it goes without saying. What about, like, lulav? Should I say, I don't want to bother with lulav, I'm too busy learning. Say, no, no one else can take a lulav from me. It's not Efshel Lashes Ayidachir, so I have to stop learning and pick up a lulav, which is, of course, true. Yasa mitzvah, the absolute most tamud, they should do the mitzvah, then go back to learning. It's obvious. Did anyone ever have a havmina if I'm learning? Like, I should skip, like, lulav, and I should skip shofar, and I should skip fillin, and I should, like, skip all the mitzvahs in the Torah? No, if I'm learning, I should skip the things that someone else will take care of. But if I have to put on fillin, then I have to put on fillin. If I have to pick up a lulav, then I have to pick up a lulav. So it's pasha. If it's my mitzvah that I have to do, then I stop learning to do the mitzvah. So everyone asks, there's a stira in the Rambam. On the one hand, the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah that if you're in the middle of Torah, you are not potter for a mitzvah that you have to do. But yes, the Rambam says, in Hilchos Ishus, that if I'm in the middle of learning Torah, kol shekein, it's obvious that I'm potter from getting married in Puruvu. But I'm the one who has to do Puruvu, right? Your Puruvu doesn't count for me. So what's Pshat in the Rambam? How could the Rambam, if he says I'm not potter for mitzvahs I have to do, how could the Rambam say I'm potter for the mitzvah of Puruvu if I'm learning? So what's Pshat in the Rambam, Lamaisa?
It's a shul
derech. What?
It's a shul derech.
Ah, so what are you saying? Explain.
Taking lulav or going to the wedding, whatever it is, it's a one-time thing. They'll be over within a few hours and you miss the opportunity, whereas Puruvu slash getting married, that's something that you'll be able to still be in the time.
Okay, make a diuk in the Rambam to support that Pshat. Then the Tziv brings down this Pshat. He actually doesn't like it so much, but... What's the deal? What's Michael trying to say? Michael's trying to say that there's a difference. That if... And I'll even make... Do you mind if I make it even a little stronger? He says, if I had to get married now, this is my last chance to get married, then of course I have to stop learning to do the mitzvah. But, you know, just like I don't have to do a mitzvah if someone else can take care of it, I also don't have to stop learning to do a mitzvah if I can take care of it later. That's also like, what's the difference if someone else can take care of it or if I can take care of it later? Since I can always get married later, and there's, how many kids do you have to have for Puravu? We hold.
One
boy and a girl. Right, too. Do I have to get married at 18 in order to have a boy and a girl? No, if I get married at 40, I'll also have time to have a boy and a girl. If I get married at 30, I'll also have time to have a boy and a girl. That, you know, it's not like I have to have 100 children. I better get started, otherwise I won't have enough time. There's plenty of time to do it later. So therefore, since I can do it later, that's like Efshel Esai Dechairim. That means it could be taken care of without me. Not without me, but it could be taken care of without me doing it now, because I'll do it later. Since I can do it later, I don't have to stop my learning. What's the diuk in the Rambam? Hilchos Ishus? Hariza, louder? Ravin? Mutter lehis acher. Does the Rambam say it's mutter to not get married? No, he doesn't say it's mutter to not get married. He says it's mutter lehis acher. It's mutter to delay getting married. So that's very meduyuk. And it brings down, it's very meduyuk. You're not allowed to skip a mitzvah because you're learning. But you're allowed to push it off on someone else, and you're allowed to push it, also allowed to push it off on some other time, on some when else. So therefore, since you're only being misacher, that's okay. That's the pshat that's brought down by the Nitziv. So one pshat is that really, you can't skip a mitzvah for learning Torah. But you can always do it later, or less acher, you're just delaying, you're not skipping it. You're not being mevatel, you're just delaying it. So you're allowed to, just like I'm allowed to push off a mitzvah onto you for Talmud Torah, I'm allowed to push off a mitzvah onto next year for Talmud Torah. Okay, that's a very good shot. And it's Meduyik in the Rambam Lehitzachir. What about Halacha Gimel? Misha Chashkanash of Torah, Tamed V'Shoyer and Azai V'Nidiv V'Kol Yom of L'Nasa Isha Ein B'Yodo Avon, someone who's mamish in love with Torah and all time learned like Ben Azai and didn't get married, doesn't have a sin. So, the Asamach wrote out. Depends how you learn it. But some Achronim say, what is pshat in Ben Azai? According to Michael's pshat, which is that really you're not allowed to be mevatel to neglect Puruvu for Torah. You're just allowed to delay it and do it later. So what's pshat in Ben Azai? So some Achronim write, does the Rambam say it's mutter to be like Ben Azai? What does the Rambam say? That it's not an Aveira to do like Ben Azai. He doesn't say it's a mutter. Just that it's not an Aveira. What category do we have of things that are not mutter? But if you do them, it doesn't count as an Aveira? No, that's an Aveira Darabonin. Honest. Right? What if I'm honest doing Aveira? Is it okay? It's not okay. We wouldn't say, like, mutter lasas Aveira ba'onis. But if I do it, I'm not held accountable, responsible, it's not an Avon. So someone could say, Ben Azai was an honest that he couldn't get married. It's not a heter to not get married. Ben Azai was not a heter to not get married. It was really usher for him not to get married. But in biyado avon, the avera doesn't stick to him because he has a pshor onus. Because you can say, I was so in love with Torah that I just couldn't physically get up and leave the Beis Medrash to get married. So, okay, nowadays, they say no one's quite on that madrega. Halavai, we should even be on much lower madregas. But, so, according to Michael, what I have to say, you'll tell me, maybe you think it's duck, maybe you don't, but there's a deal for the Rambam to support it, that Rambam's not being matur Ben Azai, no way. The Rambam's just saying Ben Azai is onus because he just physically couldn't do it. If he couldn't do it, then he's honest, Bedover. Okay, so he's honest. He wasn't Mekayim of Mitzvah Seh, because he was honest. Alright, that's fair. You know, the truth is that halachically, like, you know, to not be Mekayim of Mitzvah Seh, you don't always need a level of honest of someone holding a gun to your head. Gemara's various example that if you're honest, you just can't do it for some very, very strong reason. That's an onus that pops you from Mitzvah Seh. Like, for example, what if you don't have so much money, it would cost more than a fifth of your money? Then so honest, you don't have to do the Mitzvah Seh. So Ben Azai, it would have been so hard for him to get out of the Beis Medrash, that was an honest. That's what you have to say. That's one shot. Anyone want to say a different shot than Michael? Anyone want to say the Shulchan Aruch Rav's shot? Which is which?
Learning, you're
Yeah, but what I don't understand is that if you're learning, like maybe the day Maisa, you're also learning. And let's say I learn Sochan Aruch HaChaim, that's not also learning?
Right.
Like if I learn Kudshim, then I'm potter for everything.
No, it's also learning, but still, the whole point of your learning is to be able to meet the Maisa. If you're not going to pick up the rule, that's what you just...
But why can't... I don't understand what the Rukim says, is someone whose whole point maybe the day Maisa. Aren't they also interested in just learning? Someone specifically says, I'm a Chavin not to just learn, only maybe the day Maisa. You mean, there are two different levels of learning. One guy's learning on a basic level, the other guy's learning really seriously. As one guy's learning really seriously, he is osig mitzvah Torah dva. But in the Rambam of Talmud Torah is talking about just if he's stam learning. The only problem is that that does seem like a good shot, but anyone have a Rambam here? Hold on. But you always have to check the context of the Rambam before you say a shot of no kim to the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Paragimel, which is where this Rambam comes from, he says, how are you zoche to the... He says, how are you, actually, he says that a little later. See that in the Talmud. So you want to say that's talking about someone who's not necessarily learning on such a stark level. But what I still don't like is that in Perek Aleph, he talks about the obligation of Talmud Torah. Perek Gimel, he's talking about the Ketzer Torah. How to really be crowned with the Ketzer Torah and become a Talmud Chacham. Now, he only actually says the words, if you want the Ketzer Torah, you should learn all the time, really stark, a little later in the parak. If you start the parak with, there's a Ketzer Torah, Talmud Chacham. So it seems like Perek Gimel is talking about the Ketzer Torah, not just the some basic level of Limud, but the highest level of Limud. So I want to say another shot. Who can tell me the Shulchan Aruch Rav's shot? Who is the Shulchan Aruch Rav? The Balatani, the Alter Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shulchan Aruch Rav, Kayadua. That A, it's been a Lubavitch Minhag from the very beginning, that unlike some other Hasidim in the old days, nowadays, pretty much all Hasidim are very into learning Gemara. But unlike some Hasidim in the old days who were not so into traditional Litvish learning, the Lubavitchers were always the Litvaks, they were always really into learning in this, when the Alter Rebbe wrote, first of all, the fact that he wrote a Shulchan Aruch Harav, and not just to say for a Tanya and Machshava, and that the Shulchan Aruch Rav is like one of the most respected Svarim in Halacha. I mean, it's not, it's not considered like Chassidus is safer than someone wrote a Shal Shedus. I mean, this is one of the Gedolei Achronim in Talmud Torah. So Babich has always had a slightly different approach that clearly comes across in the fact that in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he devoted a special section to Hilchas Talmud Torah, made a special Hilchas Talmud Torah as part of the Shulchan Aruch Rav with its own order of Prakim, with its own section, and you will see some of the sheets that he says in it. He takes very, very seriously this idea of Lima Torah in a very, very traditional sense, not as much as he was ultimately Chassidus Rebbe. He was not the kind of Chassidus Rebbe who said singing and dancing is really more important than learning Torah. He did say you have to bring the Pnimius to people and explain to them and make it relevant to them. But he was very, very traditional in his attitude towards Talmud Torah. But, so what did he say, Sean, here, Michael? What did Shulchan Aruch Rav say? Give me a deek in the Rambam.
No, the Rambam doesn't say. Perhaps the Rambam's not saying it is actually. Oh, it's not so bad, but really not the optimal. But perhaps, like what the Rambam says, there is a level that you can reach it. That
yeah, but that's
really
not true. There's only a discussion about davening since Rabbanan and Kriyas Shema is part of the Torah anyway. But it's partially they put on tefillin, they picked up a lulav, and they built a sukkah, etc. So what does Shulchan Aruch Rav says? Look at the diak in Hilchas Talmud Torah, per Gemalach Adalit. Hayu lefanav asiyach mitzvah Talmud Torah. If asher lemitzvah leyotzah ideacherim lo yafsek talmudo v'im lav yaseh hamitzvah v'yachzor leTalmudo. Give me the diak that answers the seer in the second way.
But when you get married, you can't really yachzor leTalmudo.
Ah, when do you stop for a mitzvah you have to do? I'll deny that you can be yaseh hamitzvah. The yachzor leTalmudo. Al tnai, you can do the mitzvah and go back to learning. It's going to take me 2 hours to do the mitzvah, and then I'll go back to learning. That's when I stop the mitzvah and go back to my learning. But only al tnai that I can be chozor leLimudo. What's the whole problem with doing the mitzvah of getting married and having a family? Not that I have to go to the wedding for a few hours and then go back to learn. No, that's not the problem. The problem is I'll have to go to work every day for the rest of my life and earn a salary. You won't be able to yachzor leTalmudo. Yes, I'll be able to learn Daf Yomi at night, but if I really want to learn on a high level and sit and learn all day and become a gadol, then I won't be able to continue learning. And that's the deal. Thank you, Jason, for the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Shulchan Aruch Rav says that really the Rambam Hilchos Ishus is right. If you're osek in Torah, you're a potter for doing mitzvot. You're only chayiv to do a mitzvah when it's a short break and you can come back to your learning. But if you can come back to your learning, then the Rambam never said you should stop your learning if you can't go back to it. Only if you can come back, and therefore, according to him, Oseg Torah is mamish potter from Pru Revu. Legamre potter from Pru Revu. Because you can't go back to your learning, and then Ben Azai would be lachachila. Oseg Torah is mamish potter from getting married. Because you're potter from doing a mitzvah if it would keep you away from learning permanently if you couldn't be chosen to Talmudo. It's just that most people want to get married eventually, so they just delay. But if Ben Azai never wants to get married, then it's mutter for him to not get married at all, because you're totally potter for Rebu. So it prevents you from being chozer l'talmudo. Jason.
Is there any, will there be any other mitzvah like this that you can't go back? Like?
I don't know if there would be. I don't know if there's any other mitzvah like for Rebu that would keep you away from learning forever. But Lu Yitzir, there would be one. I don't know, let's say we invent a strange scenario, right? Someone had to, you were the only qualified Moel, and someone, you know, in Siberia needed a bris milah. But there's only one-way train. You can never come back. So would you be chayav, stop your learning, and go do the bris milah if you're the only one qualified? The only side effect is no one might be chayav to do that. The answer is no, because you can't be chosen with Talmud, though. Okay, that's a funny scenario. But,
Didn't the Gemara give a sheep that says the reason why Kol Ben Azai was the stigma of those who never got married?
Well, that might depend on this chakira, meaning if we say that really you're not a Jumivakal Peruva for learning, he was just an onus, there might be some stigma there. But if you say that really you are allowed to, and he was the ideal level, because really you are allowed to be involved from Pru Revu, so it would keep you from being Chozel Talmudo, then maybe you wouldn't say that pshat. So, just to, okay, we have to add a Ha'ara, just the Chazer, what we have here is two pshatim on the surface level. We have two pshatim in how to resolve the stira in the Rambam. Number one, the Rambam says you're chayv to do a mitzvah if it needs you to do it. And number two, the Rambam says, no, most of the Torah is potter from the mitzvah of getting married. The one shot was brought down by the Tziv says, really, you have to stop learning to do every mitzvah if it's necessary. Just Peruvu is not so necessary now because you could do it later. Well, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, no, really, you only have to stop learning to do a mitzvah if you could be Chozel Talmudo, if you could go back to learning. But if you can't go back to learning, then Oseg Mitzorah is Potter Min HaMitzvah.
Yeah, I don't understand that because... I mean, Gimli's only talking about Kirhuri and Kirhuri there, and Ben is talking about, I mean, he's retarded in his own, and other than his wife and his children. And Gimli doesn't seem like he's retarded in his wife and children.
You mean about Ben Azai?
Yeah.
No, so it's working off Gimli. The thing is that if you're so worried about having to make a parnasa, you don't want to get married at all, then that's mutter as long as you don't have her harem.
Sorry, say one time?
That Ben Azai is working off halacha base, meaning if you're so worried about parnasa that you never want to get married and make a parnasa, because you want to learn your whole life straight, then it's mutter as long as you don't have her hurim. But there's all manasa you don't have her hurim. Now I think what's interesting is that fundamentally we have a fundamental machlokas here between these two approaches, between Berkowitz and Finkelstein, between the approach brought down by the Tziv and the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Really, what's more important, learning Torah or doing mitzvos? According to Berkowitz, shot brought down by the Netziv, really what takes precedence, Torah or mitzvos? According to your shot, no, really mitzvos take precedence, unless you could do them later or someone else could do them. Really, when push comes to shove, if it's either Torah or mitzvah, what wins? The mitzvah wins. So why does the Turavu lose? Because that you could do later. If you could do it later, the mitzvah loses. Someone else could do it, the mitzvah loses. But if the clash... either do the Torah, not the mitzvah, or the mitzvah, not the Torah, then the mitzvah wins. That's Berkowitz's shot. But according to Jason's shot, which is brought down by the Shulchan Aruch Harav, according to Jason's Shulchan Aruch Harav, really, if it's Torah versus mitzvah, who wins? Well, if the mitzvah is temporary and go back to Torah, then the mitzvah wins. But if it's a you go back to Torah. But if it's a real clash, either Torah from now on or mitzvah from now on, then who wins? According to Jason, the Torah wins. The Torah only stops doing mitzvah if it's chozel talmudo, if it's a temporary. But if it's a permanent clash between Torah and mitzvahs, really Torah wins. So in terms of these two Rambams we started with, Talmud Torah says stop to do the mitzvah if it needs you. Isha says no, Torah beats mitzvah. Michael is saying that really Talmud Torah is right. Really stop for the mitzvah. Mitzvah is more important. Just in Isha, you could do the mitzvah later. Jason's saying, Shulchan Aruch, I was saying, really, Hilchos Ishus is right. Torah beats every mitzvah in the world. The only reason you stopped for the mitzvah in Hilchos Talmud Torah is because you could go back to learning. So it was a small, temporary thing. But really, Torah beats all mitzvahs. This might be a fundamental hashkafic machlokes about what Talmud Torah is all about. Because if I ask you a simple question, now the truth is there's more than one answer to the simple question, but most people give the simple answer. I ask you a very simple question. Osik b'mitzvah is patur from all mitzvahs or chayiv in all mitzvahs? Osik b'mitzvah, what's the rule? Patur from all mitzvahs, even if I need to do them. Right, if I'm busy doing pidyon shvuyim, I'm patur from sukkah, shluchim mitzvah, p'turim minat sukkah. Right, if I'm doing some simple chasim kawa, I'm patur from tefillin. Osik b'mitzvah, chasim patur from kriyas. It's patur from all mitzvahs across the board. Osik b'torah, is he patur from all mitzvahs? What did the Rambam say? Based on the Gemara? What?
No.
What's the rule of an Osik B'Torah? He has to do a mitzvah if? So why does Osik B'Torah have to stop for a mitzvah in the first place? Why does Osik B'Torah ever have to stop for a mitzvah? So what does the Rambam say right before that? In Halacha Gimel? Ein lecha mitzvah chol mitzvah shkulon shkulon k'negit Talmud Torah Talmud Torah k'negit mitzvah sh'atalmud mividli dei ma'isa. So what does the Meiri say? The Meiri says, look, the whole purpose of learning Torah is, maybe Lidei Maisa. The whole purpose of learning Torah is to do the mitzvot. So obviously, what should take precedence? If the whole purpose of learning Torah is just to do the mitzvot, then Torah is better than all the mitzvot. But the whole purpose to get you to the mitzvot, so of course the mitzvah should take precedence. That's what the Meiri says. The Meiri says, of course the mitzvah should take precedence, because the whole point of learning Torah is to bring you to the mitzvot. Torah is only important because it brings you to mitzvot. So obviously you should stop learning Torah to do the mitzvah, because Torah is only important because mitzvahs are the ultimate goal. Gadol Talmud maybe the day Maisa means learning Torah is important, but only because it leads you to do mitzvahs. So obviously you should stop learning to do a mitzvah. According to the Pshat and Meiri, it seems ultimately mitzvahs beat Torah. That would work well for Michael. Ultimately, the whole purpose of Torah is that it's a hechsher for mitzvahs. It's also mitzvah in and of itself. But the whole purpose of learning Torah is just to help you know how to do mitzvot and to inspire you to do mitzvot. So ultimately, when push comes to shove, what's more important? What's more important is doing mitzvot, which makes sense for Michael Schott. Really, you stop learning Torah to do a mitzvah, unless you can do it later. However, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says a little differently. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, before the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he says, no, Torah learning in and of itself, just by learning the Ritzon Hashem, is greater than any mitzvah in the world. So it might not be greater than all the mitzvahs put together, but Torah is greater than any other mitzvah. Torah is number one of the 613, and it's not neck and neck. Torah is way ahead of any other mitzvah, just because the Torah is the Dvar Hashem, and you have a direct connection to Hashem by learning His Ratzon. Doesn't matter if you ever do it. Torah is greater than any other mitzvah. Torah is the greatest thing in the world. The Nefesh Chaim says, as we know, that Al-Pi Kabbalah, it's very hard for people to connect to Hashem. But there's one way that you don't even have, you can skip the Kabbalah. If you learn Torah, you have a direct connection to Hashem. After all, what is Hashem? Hashem's not a physical thing. Hashem doesn't have emotions. Hashem doesn't have length and width and color. All Hashem has is His Chacham and His Ratzon, which is all in the Torah. So the Torah is Hashem. After all, it's the Chacham and Ratzon of Hashem. And if you fill your mind with the Chacham and Ratzon of Hashem, then you are automatically linked to Hashem. So Torah is inherently better than any mitzvah. So why do you ever have to stop learning to do a mitzvah? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, really, Torah is inherently better than any mitzvah. The only reason you have to stop learning through a mitzvah is because if you skip all the mitzvahs, then what do we say? If you're lomed, shalom anaf lasos, what does the Gemara say? If you learn, not, but you don't want to keep the mitzvahs, you're just learning intellectually? Then what? Not only that, but noach lo, kilu nefka shal yechol panav, it would be better if you had been stillborn, it'd be better if you die. Torah doesn't count as Torah. If you're learning Torah, and you don't plan to keep the Torah. So Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, really, Torah beats any mitzvah. However, if you learn Torah, and you skip all the mitzvot, then it's a lima shalom anath lasos, and it's pegam in your Torah. Torah beats every mitzvah. But there's a pegam if you're lomay shalom anath lasos. That's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav shot. It sounds very similar to Meiri, but it's a little different. The Meiri says the whole point of learning is to do mitzvah, so mitzvah beats learning. Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, no, really, learning beats mitzvah. However, if you're mevatel the ma'isa, you turn into a lomish lomanas lasos, and that's the psul in your learning. But according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, okay, so you have to be a lomaid, and you can't be a rasha who's a lomaid. Because then you're a lomish lomanas lasos, and that's the pgam in your learning. But, really, learning is more important than any mitzvah, because Torah is not just good because maybe the Maisa. Torah is supreme in and of itself. I think that, Lashitase, I mean, I'm not putting this together, it is something like a Rav, that makes a lot of sense. But Jason said, if Torah is really in and of itself better than any Maisa, just we have to stop sometimes so we won't look like we're Lomi Shalom and Aslasos, so we won't be pouring the old of mitzvos from upon us, so we won't violate the old Malka Shemayim. But if Torah really is better than Maisa, if Torah, thank you. If Torah really is better than any Maisa, that fits very nicely. Shulchan Aruch Rav. That fits very nicely. Shulchan Aruch Rav. Shout that really Torah does beat every Maisa. What's the only reason we interrupt to do a Maisa? If we can be chozel limudo, we just show that it's almanas lasso, so we're chozel limudo. But really, Torah is supreme over any other Maisa. Torah in and of itself has supreme value. So I think that, just the Chazar briefly, then we have to go to the set up for a shift. But we've seen a steer in the Rambam is really like by Puravu, you're putter for mitzvahs, or no, you're chayv, you have to stop to do a mitzvah necessary for you. We saw two totally different approaches. One is quoted by the Nesiv, really you have to stop to do mitzvahs. Just Puravu, you're delaying so you can do it later. Or the and that might be based on the approach that really mitzvahs are of course more important than Torah, if they need to be done now. Because the whole point of Torah, like Meir says, is just to teach you how to do mitzvahs. Or the other Pshat is Shulchan Aruch Rav. No, really, we would never stop Torah for mitzvot. Except for the fact that we come back to learning. We only stop Torah temporarily for mitzvot, because we're chozel tamudo. But by Pru Ravu, where we wouldn't be able to be chozel tamudo, we don't stop our learning, which maybe the Shittas is Shulchan Aruch Rav, that fundamentally Torah is more important than any other mitzvot. Even forget about the fact that it's maybe de-maisa. Torah in and of itself is a connection to Hashem, which beats all mitzvot. So why do we ever stop even temporarily to do Maisim? Just to show that we're not a Lomei, Shalom Anas Lassos, that we're not making it just an intellectual study, which is devoid of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. But really, Torah is more important than Mitzvah. So could we have a very fundamental machlokas here about what the most supreme, highest goal in Judaism is and what's in place in Talmud Torah vis-a-vis Mitzvahs, which affects how to resolve the Stira in the Rambam.